Westminster Confession, chapter 11, and paragraph 5. Paragraph 5. God doth continue to forgive the sins of those that are justified, and although they can never fall from the state of justification, yet they may, by their sins, fall under God's fatherly displeasure, and not have the light of his countenance restored unto them, until they humble themselves, confess their sins, beg pardon, and renew their faith and repentance. So, justification irreversible, but not the comfort of it. Justification irreversible, but not the comfort of it. Firstly, God continues to forgive the justified. God continues to forgive the justified. You see, the confession says, God doth continue to forgive the sins of those that are justified. And we're directed to Matthew 6 and verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. And then verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in verse 7, when it says the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin, the tense there in the Greek word is, it suggests the idea of it goes on, it continues to cleanse from all sin. And chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So there, God is declared to us as continuing to sin. And it's not even that continuing to forgive sin. It is not even that prior to confession of sin, we are back under condemnation. For the removal of condemnation is complete and permanent when we are united to Christ, but rather that it's speaking of the removal of the marring of fellowship and God's fatherly frown and displeasure, and we must seek that continually, and the removal of a troubled conscience. The word forgiveness can refer to the removal of different aspects of the effect of sin upon our relationship with God, so that at its most fundamental, in its most fundamental sense, it means the removal of God's judicial wrath, and that takes place when a sinner is united to Christ, and that is never reversed. But it can also be used of the removal of God's fatherly displeasure and correction and the marring of communion with God and trouble of conscience. In that sense, the believer is confessing sin and being forgiven sin all through his Christian life. Secondly, never any reversal of justification. Never any reversal of justification. You see that the confession goes on to say, and although they can never fall from the state of justification. Luke 22 and verse 32. Luke 22 and verse 32. Read from verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. There the Lord Jesus is speaking of the fact that Satan was desiring to sift all the disciples. You see, it's Satan hath desired to have you and sift, that he may sift you as wheat. That's plural. But then, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. That's singular. So Christ is saying he prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail. So faith would not be utterly removed, and therefore there would be no reversal of the justification, being declared righteous in the sight of God. John 10, verse 28. John 10 and verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And there the Lord Jesus is saying that those who have eternal life will never lose that. In fact, it's not eternal if it was losable. But they have eternal life, and therefore the blessing of justification is never removed from those who are born of the Spirit. Hebrews 10 and verse 14. Hebrews 10 and verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The thought is that those who are redeemed by Christ and brought into his fellowship, they remain so. They remain set apart to Christ and to God. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. It's the same idea. He's able to save to the uttermost. It means to the end, because he intercedes continually, and therefore the people of God will not apostatize and fall away. Those who are born of the Spirit will not fall utterly. They may fluctuate, but they do not utterly fall, because they are kept by the power of God. Christ intercedes continually, therefore he saves to the uttermost, to the end, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We can also mention 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. This has confused Christians at times, because Christians do sin, of course. But the tense here means they do not go on committing sin as if there were no change. It doesn't mean that Christians don't sin at all, but they do not go on in a life of sin as the unbeliever does, because his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. There is a change of nature, and he cannot go on as if that change has never taken place. John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 24. John 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. An irreversible change, passing from death to life, and therefore no reversal of the sentence of justification. The declaration of forgiveness, the declaration of legally righteous by God himself and before his tribunal. Arminians, those who believe that man has an independent free will, they believe not only that faith may fluctuate in strength, as we do, but that it may be utterly extinguished, and so the child of God may once again become a child of the devil and a child of wrath. The new birth is the work of God, and therefore is irreversible. Only false professions of faith are temporary. Only false professions of faith are temporary. The parable of the sower, the difference in the soils was there from the start. And the good soil, those who are born of the Spirit, they bring forth fruit, and it's not a work of God that is undone. Thirdly, comfort and assurance can be reversed. Comfort and assurance can be reversed. Comfort and safety are not the same thing. If we are walking in the daylight, and we can see that on either side of the path there's nothing but flat fields, then not only are we safe, but we know that we're safe. But if we're walking along that path in the dark, and we can't see what is on either side, then we are safe, but we don't know it, because we don't know what there is. We don't know, we can't see clearly that we're safe, because we can't see what's around us, and we feel unsure. If we step this way, are we safe or are we not? So there is a difference between being safe and having the comfort of knowing that we are safe. And that's why not every believer has the assurance of salvation. It is as certain that the troubled, doubting Christian will go to heaven as the most assured Christian. But the doubting believer, though he is safe in the hand of God, he lacks the comfort and the assurance that he is so. And though backsliding is not the only cause of this lack of assurance, it is a cause. And the regenerate backslider, though safe, lacks the assurance of that safety. God is too loving and kind to give us the assurance of salvation when we are in rebellion against him. And he does chastise his people. So Psalm 89 and verse 31. Psalm 89 and verse 31. If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. This is no doubt included in the proof text to establish the principle that God chastises but does not forsake and ruin his backsliding people. Psalm 51 and verse 7. Psalm 51 and verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So the Lord can remove the joy of his salvation, even from those who are saved with an everlasting salvation. Psalm 32 and verse 5. Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. The previous verses describe the hand of God upon David when he did not confess his sin, and here we have his confession and the restoration of the joy of the salvation of God. Matthew 26 and verse 75. Matthew 26 and verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. And here Peter wept when he thought upon his sin and upon the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, showing that true believers may pass through sorrow in the way of restoration of fellowship with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. There, the apostle, by the Spirit, is speaking of God chastening his people because of their abuse of the Lord's Supper. Luke chapter 1 and verse 20. Luke chapter 1 and verse 20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, this is Zacharias, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Again, showing that the Lord does chasten, he does correct his true children. And that is taught, of course, in the book of Hebrews, that it's a sign of our sonship, of our adoption, when the Lord corrects us. And he can correct us by removing from us the assurance of our being in Christ. And so the confession of faith goes on to say, they may by their sins fall under God's fatherly displeasure and not have the light of his countenance restored unto them until they humble themselves, confess their sins, beg pardon, and renew their faith and repentance. So our faith and repentance can fluctuate. It can't be utterly extinguished, but it can fall into a low condition, and we must return to the Lord and confess our iniquities, as in Psalm 32. Let us keep short accounts with God, confess our sins daily, and seek his grace to walk humbly with him in the assurance of that we might have the assurance and peace of the gospel, as well as the safety which that gospel brings to those who by grace believe it. Walk closely with God in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Amen.